بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We are reading from the kitab Islahul Aqaid, Correction of Beliefs, and we are reading concerning the beliefs which should hold with regards to Qiyamah. The minor and major signs are being discussed. We are reading concerning the major signs which will appear just before the coming of Qiyamah. From that, we have read concerning the advent of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu, the appearance of Dajjal, and today we read concerning the descent of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. The third major sign of Qiyamah is the descent of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and the killing of Dajjal. The descent of Isa alayhi salam is substantiated from the Quran, Hadith, and consensus of opinion. It is incumbent to hold this belief regarding Nabi Isa alayhi salam. He will descend from heaven close to Qiyamah and meet with Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu will propose to hand over all control to Nabi Isa alayhi salam, who will decline, saying that his special mission was to slay Dajjal. Allah Ta'ala will put such effect in his breath that any disbeliever who comes in touch with it will die. Isa alayhi salam will pursue and kill Dajjal at a place called Bab al-Lud, which is in the land of Sham. After destroying Dajjal and his army, Isa alayhi salam and Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu will console those who had suffered under the hands of Dajjal. Finally, the whole world will come under Islamic domination. During this glorious Islamic reign, the world will be filled with justice and mercy. Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu will rule over the world for 7 years before his death. Isa alayhi salam will perform the janazah salat of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu. He will pass away in Al-Baytul Muqaddas and he will be buried there. At his death, his age will be between 47 and 50 years. After the death of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu, the leadership of Islam will pass over to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. He will adhere fully to the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This reign of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will be a very peaceful one. During this time, Allah Ta'ala will send revelation to Isa alayhi salam, saying, "Take my servants to the mountains, for I shall send a very powerful nation whom none will have the power to fight." And that is the appearance of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. This is the fourth major sign of Qiyamah. Close to Qiyamah, these two groups will emerge and wreck great havoc and turmoil on earth. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will go away to the mountains and pray to Allah Ta'ala for their destruction. Allah Ta'ala will finally eliminate them by a natural disaster. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala will create birds with long necks that will devour their corpses and throw their remains into the sea. There will be a great flood thereafter, which will cleanse the earth of the smell and disease that will result from the destruction of this tribe. After their destruction, there will be great prosperity on earth. This prosperity will remain for 7 years. Thereafter, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will die a physical death after accomplishing his mission. He will be buried in a grave next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In his lifetime, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will appoint his successor, a man called Jahjah from Yemen, from the tribe of Qahtan. He will rule with great justice and piety. After him, several rulers will follow. Slowly evil and corruption will once again set in. Amongst the signs of this time is that a house in the west and east will sink into the earth. Last night in the Taraweeh, the 15th para was Alhamdulillah recited, which comprises of Surah Bani Israel and the major portion of Suratul Kahf. The first Surah Bani Israel is also sometimes called Suratul Isra. It is called Surah Bani Israel because mention of the Bani Israel is made in the first ruku also, and it is also called Suratul Isra because the mention is made in the first ayat concerning the miraculous journey which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the heavens, which is commonly known as the journey of Mi'raj. Concerning the journey of Mi'raj, the first portion of the journey, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken from Makkatul Mukarramah to Baytul Maqdis. That portion of the journey is technically called Isra. That's why this surah is also called Surah Isra. And from there, Allah Ta'ala took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the heavens, and that is called Mi'raj. But commonly the whole journey is known as Mi'raj. It is our aqeedah that this journey of Mi'raj was in a physical state and in a conscious state of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It wasn't just a spiritual journey or a dream, which many people claim. And why? Because they regard this journey to be just in a portion of a night. How was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taken to the heavens in such a short space of time? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the first word of the first verse of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already indicates that nothing is beyond the power and qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it was just a spiritual journey or it was just a dream, then we would not have found people calling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a liar with regards to this incident. And the mushrikeen, they would not have made a mockery of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because in a dream a person sees the most unimaginable things. But nobody calls a person who sees such a weird and far-fetched dream to be something which is now, they know it was just a dream. But the fact that they denied what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them already was an indication that they knew that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't claim to see this whole incident in a dream, or it wasn't just in a spiritual form, but it was a physical journey. We should correct our aqidah in this regard, that it was a physical journey in a conscious state. Not that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken while he was asleep and then later on informed of what happened. No, it was in a conscious state. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that purity belongs to that being, Allah ta'ala, who at night took his servant, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Masjid-e-Haram to Masjid-e-Aqsa. That Masjid-e-Aqsa, that the surroundings of it, we have placed great blessings in there. Many Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, they all came to Baytul Maqdis, they made ibadat there, and many are buried within the precincts of Masjidul Aqsa and Baytul Muqaddas. And Allah Ta'ala says, why did we take Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam onto this journey? لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. To show Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam our signs, our great power, and the things of the unseen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown Jannat and Jahannam and all the great creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens, which we cannot see, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown all this. So this journey of the Mi'raj is mentioned in the first verse here. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention that we had announced to the Bani Israel in the Torah itself that they will create great corruption on the earth twice. And each time Allah Ta'ala says that we told them that we will set their enemies on them who will really destroy them and plunder and pillage whatever they have. And this is exactly what happened. So the Bani Israel had been warned from beforehand, and that Allah Ta'ala told them, لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ. So these two incidents which occurred, Allah Ta'ala did not specify exactly the circumstances of these two incidents. But many incidents in the history of the Bani Israel have been recorded where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to punish the Bani Israel,
set their enemies upon them in such a way that they completely now destroyed them. And one incident which many commentators have referred to was when the Bani Israel, they denied the message of the Torah and refused to act upon the injunctions of the Torah, and they went to the limits of transgression by even killing and martyring some of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. With the result, Allah Ta'ala then set upon a person by the name of Bukht Nasr, and he and his army were let loose upon Baytul Muqaddas, and they completely ravaged and made Baytul Muqaddas desolate. They burned the copies of the Torah, they killed the Bani Israel, and many of them they took with them as prisoners. So Allah, that was the first promise. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of that, that فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا, when the first of the two promises will come, بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا, we will set upon them such servants of ours who will be great warmongers, أُولِ بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ, who will be really only interested in warfare, and فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ, and they will barge into the midst of your houses, and they will completely destroy you. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَانَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا, this was a promise which will definitely be fulfilled, and it was fulfilled. Allah Ta'ala then says that then we will give you authority once again over your enemies, and we will increase you in wealth and children, and we will multiply your numbers manifold. But then Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرَةِ, and when the second of the promises will come, then what will happen? Then again, a person, an enemy of the Bani Israel, a mushrik, will be then set upon them again, لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, he will disfigure and distort your faces. In other words, put you into great disgrace and humiliation. وَلِيَدْخُلُوا الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ, and they will enter the masjid, referring to Masjid Aqsa, as they had entered the first time, and they will desecrate the Masjid Aqsa, and وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْا تَتْبِيرًا, and they will then destroy whatever they get control of. And this is exactly what happened, and the commentators mention that a king from the Roman kings, from Babylon, that is Babil, mentioned in the Quran Majid, the name Babil also, and from there he will come, and then he will completely wreak havoc amongst the Bani Israel. Allah Ta'ala says, this is what we had promised, and this is exactly what happened. Allah Ta'ala says, perhaps your Rabb, Allah Ta'ala, will then show mercy upon you, but be warned, وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا, that if you return to your old ways, then عُدْنَا, we will also return in the way you will meet out treatment against you, and then you will be humiliated and destroyed. So Allah Ta'ala has warned the Bani Israel that if you carry on with your old ways, then we will again put you under such disgrace and humiliation, where your enemies will be set upon you. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning the nature of man, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا, that insan is always, human beings are always in a state of haste, that they don't think properly before making decisions, and without realizing the consequences of their actions, and many a time then they do things and they regret later on. So hastiness in doing things is not a good quality. A person should first think and ponder carefully before he does things. Allah Ta'ala then mentions many of his great creations, and which shows the great wisdom and power of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in these creations. Allah Ta'ala says, we have created the night and the day as signs for you of our Qudrat, and then we have darkened the sign of the night, and we have made the sign of the day bright for you, so that you can seek the bounty of your Rabb, that is your livelihood. And another reason for this alternation of the day and night is so that you can then count the years and your calculations, and many worldly activities and also our many ibadat are based on time, and the criterion of determining time is the alternation of the day and night. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala makes mention of this. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions that وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا, that we don't destroy nations until we don't send a Rasul, a messenger, or our message of Haqq does not reach them. Till then we do not destroy a nation. It is only after the message of Haqq when it comes to the people, and then they remain obstinate and stubborn and refuse to accept that message, then Allah Ta'ala says, then we destroy them. And then Allah Ta'ala says, one way we destroy a nation is that we first amarna mutrafiha, that the affluent people of that of the locality are ordered concerning the message of Haqq. But when they rebel against this message, then our order and decision of destruction comes to them, and then we completely annihilate them. The affluent people of a community are normally those who hold sway over the other people, and the other people normally then what the affluent people do. So they are also reminded particularly. But when they refuse to accept the message of Haqq and influence the other people, and then the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down. Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning those people whose only objective in their actions and their efforts is to acquire the material things of this dunya. Allah Ta'ala says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَى. Those whose objective is to acquire the material possessions of this world, then very speedily and quickly we grant to them in this world to whomsoever we wish and how much we wish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say we give everybody whatever he desires. But according to Allah ta'ala's wisdom, we give it to them. But then they should remember that their abode will be Jahannam. And on the contrast, the one whose objective is the akhirat, وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا, and he makes effort in the direction of securing his akhirat. In other words, he does the right action. And وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and he is a mu'min, a person with iman. Allah Ta'ala says his efforts will be appreciated, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him for whatever he had did in the forms of the bounties of the year after. Allah Ta'ala then in the third ruku and the fourth ruku, Allah Ta'ala mentions many, many injunctions and rules, approximately about 13. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in which the rights of Allah Ta'ala, the rights of fellow people, and also social etiquettes which have to be observed have been mentioned, and the ulama have given great importance to these two verses, because many, many injunctions which will now provide prosperity and stability in society also, if one adheres to all these injunctions. So Allah Ta'ala makes mention of them. Very briefly, we will just go through them. Allah Ta'ala first says that Allah Ta'ala has decreed that you worship none but Allah Ta'ala himself. So the first order is only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and immediately thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that Allah Ta'ala has ordered that you treat your parents kindly, that you be kind and compassionate with your parents. Shows the great status of the parents, that immediately after the injunction to worship only Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala then combines it with that order that treat your parents kindly and be kind to them. Allah Ta'ala says, if any one of them or both of them reach old age, don't even tell them uff. In other words, don't tell them a word also which will offend them in any way. And don't rebuke them, even if they are at fault for whatever reason, and speak to them in a gentle way. Parents, even if they are not in Islam, they are not mu'min, but a person should now respect his parents, although whatever they say which might be in conflict with the laws of Sharia, they will not be obeyed in there. But still, a person will have to maintain their honor and show respect to them. Allah Ta'ala then further mentions that lower the wings of humility in front of them, out of compassion for them, and make dua that, O my Rabb, have mercy on them, as they had reared me and brought me up when I was young. So a person should constantly make dua also for his parents, because normally in old age, weakness comes in, and they might become dependent on their children. And in that case, a person should always still remain humble in front of them and make dua for them. Allah Ta'ala then further mentions that fulfill the rights of your relatives, and the destitute and poor, and the travelers. And then the injunction, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا, that don't be extravagant. Tabdhir is a higher and worse stage than Israf also. Israf means to spend more than what is necessary in any avenue, and tabzir is to squander one's wealth recklessly. Allah Ta'ala says, don't ever now come to that level of tabzir, because those who squander their wealth recklessly, they are the brothers of shaitan. And shaitan was extremely ungrateful towards his Rabb. And the one who now makes tabzir and spear and squanders his wealth recklessly, he is from the brother of shaitan. Allah Ta'ala then further mentions that don't tie your hands to your necks. In other words, don't become so stingy and miserly. وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ. And don't spread out your hand completely wide open, because then you yourself will now come into need. In other words, when you have to spend also, it must be in moderation. It mustn't be everything you spend, but tomorrow you are stretching your hands out and begging from others. Allah Ta'ala then reminds us that risk and sustenance is in the control of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Himself. Allah Ta'ala expands or constricts sustenance for whomsoever He pleases. Further injunctions that don't kill your children out of fear of poverty, because Allah Ta'ala is the sole provider. And don't even approach zina, don't approach any form of adultery and immorality. In other words, even those things which lead a person to adultery, that too a person should not approach and stay far from there. Then the order that don't take the life of any soul which Allah has sanctified and made unlawful to take, unless there is a just cause for it. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions that don't approach the wealth of orphans, but in a way which is best for them, it is in the best interest of them. Then you could now invest it, or now do some business with it to increase it for the welfare and benefit of the child, but never for your own personal benefit, and don't usurp the wealth of the orphans in any way. Further on, another command, أوفوا بالعهد. Fulfill your promises and pacts and agreements which you have made. And further on, then measure and weigh in full with complete justice. Don't cheat when it comes to measuring and weighing. And then Allah Ta'ala says, don't pursue those things for which you have no knowledge of. Which you have no knowledge of, don't pursue those things. Because then you will just now speculate and then think. And then many a time a person now, he falls into evil, and many wrongs are committed. Allah Ta'ala warns us that your eyes and your ears and heart, all these things will be questioned. Allah Ta'ala will question all these limbs through which a person now thinks and speculates, that they will be questioned. And the next order Allah Ta'ala says, don't walk on the earth with arrogance, because you can never pierce the earth by strutting on the earth, and you will never be able to reach the heights of the mountains in height. In other words, by puffing yourself up and raising your head and taking out your chest in a form of pride and arrogance, like that you can never reach the heights of the mountains in height. Therefore, don't do this. Walk humbly. Walk in a humble way. So all these orders Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions, and all these, if adhered to, really then the society also in which we live will become a peaceful and a pleasant one. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning the Qur'an and Majeed that we have explained everything in different ways in great detail, لِيَذَّكَّرُوا, so that you can take heed. But these kuffar and the mushrikeen who have already set the notion in their mind not to accept, Allah Ta'ala says, despite all this, it just increases them in aversion. The same Qur'an and Majeed, which is a hidayat for mankind and for all people, but these people who have already now got evil in their hearts, the same Qur'an and Majeed is a means for even increasing them in aversion and kufr. Further on, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says that when you read the Qur'an and Majeed, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we place a veil between you and those who don't believe in the year after. In other words, that message of the Qur'an and Majeed is not able to penetrate into these people's hearts, because Allah Ta'ala says, we have already destined that these people will not bring Iman. Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning these mushrikeen who regard the life after death to be a far-fetched thing. And they say that how is it when we have now decomposed, our bones have decomposed and fragmented, in other words, turned into pieces. إِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ خَلْقًا جَدِيدًا, that will be brought back to life in a new form. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even if you have to become those things where sign of life is now completely far-fetched, then to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wants to bring you back into life, Allah ta'ala can bring you back to life. Allah ta'ala says, become stones, or become iron, or even become such a creation which you regard to be difficult in your heart, that Allah ta'ala can revive and put life in there. Then to Allah ta'ala can now, He can bring it. So when you have already been created the first time, and you are already now in a form of life, and then you die, what's so difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to recreate you and resurrect you once again? Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the incident again of the creation of Adam alayhi salam, and how Iblis, he refused to make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and the result that he was banished from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was accursed. And all this was because of the great pride he had in him, and he regarded himself to be superior than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and this was the cause for his becoming accursed and banished. Further on, Allah ta'ala then makes mention that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah ta'ala says, each person will be called by his imam, either by the Nabi of the time, or either it refers to the book of records which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had, in which the person's deeds were recorded in the dunya. It will be his imam, and that he will be called. And that person who is given his book in the right hand, Allah ta'ala says that he will, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَقْرَؤُونَ كِتَابَهُمْ, they will read and they will see for themselves what is recorded in their books. And Allah ta'ala says, وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا, and people will not be wronged, and injustice will not be done to them in the least. But the smallest amount of act of piety and virtue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let it go unnoticed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward a person for the smallest act of ibadat or piety which he might have did. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the performance of salat. Allah ta'ala says, establish salat at the time of the decline of the sun, till the darkness of the night sets in which four salat are included, from the decline of the sun, the zuhur and asr salat, and ghasaq al-layl, till when darkness starts falling, referring to maghrib and isha. And then Allah ta'ala says, wa qur'an al-fajr, and also establish the fajr salat. Allah ta'ala mentions fajr salat separately to show the importance of making sure that a person also performs and establishes the fajr salat. Allah ta'ala mentions Quran al-fajr. Why? Because in the fajr salat, more Quran al-Majid comparatively is recited compared to the other salat. It is more recited in fajr salat. And then Allah ta'ala says, the fajr salat is such a salat which is in which the angels are present. The angels which now change their duties, night and day shift changes, but they all meet up in fajr salat, and according to the ahadith, the same thing is mentioned concerning asr salat. So particularly, a person should be very particular of performing the fajr and asr salat on its time, on its proper time, and not delay for any reason. Thereafter, Allah ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in a portion of the night, stand up for tahajjud salat. It is an extra salat which has been appointed for you, fixed for you. The tahajjud salat, there is difference of opinion that whether it was made compulsory upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam besides the five salat. But for the ummah, it wasn't made compulsory, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always performed his tahajjud salat late in the night, early hours of the morning, and it was his noble practice to do so. And great virtues have been mentioned concerning the tahajjud salat. Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq to perform it. Then Allah ta'ala makes mention of the ruh. The people ask you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, about the soul, the reality of the soul. The soul is something we all know. Each one, in each living creature, there is a soul which keeps him alive. And death is when the soul departs from the body. The reality of this, Allah Ta'ala says, it is from the command of my Rabb. The reality of it, Allah Ta'ala knows best about it. And it is from the creation of my Rabb. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And you have been given very little of the actual knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again makes mention concerning the Qur'an Majeed, that how Allah says, صَرَّفْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا قُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ. Every type of example we have to mention it in different ways for the benefit of man so that they can understand. But people who are averse to the Qur'an Majeed, this only increases them in kufr and aversion. Further on, Allah ta'ala makes mention of these mushrikeen who made unrealistic demands and to be shown miracles of their choice. Allah ta'ala says, all what you say, but even if we have to show you all these different miracles which you demand to be shown, but yet you will still say that we have been bewitched and jadu has been made, and they won't really accept. Amongst the demands they made was that you must now cause springs to gush out of the earth for us, or you must have splendid gardens of the date palms and the grapes, and you must cause rivers to flow between them, or cause a portion of the sky to fall down upon us. Or we want to see Allah Ta'ala brought right in front of us, and the angels which we can see with our own eyes. Or why don't you have a house made of pure gold, and why don't you climb into the skies? And they even say, we won't believe it also if you climb into the skies, until you don't bring for us a book from the skies which we can read with our own eyes and see with our own eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that tell them that هَلْ كُنْتُ إِلَّا بَشَرًا رَسُولًا, that I am a human being and who has been sent as a Rasul to you. All this is not in my power and qudrat to present to you. It is only in the qudrat and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if He wants to show a miracle. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions towards the end of the para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلِدْعُ اللَّهَ وِدْعُ الرَّحْمَانِ, that call to Allah ta'ala or call to Rahman. These mushrikeen, they used to, in a mocking way, say that you say that Allah, then you say this is Rahman. Who's this Rahman? In other words, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they used to, in a mocking way, say that who is this? Allah Ta'ala says, whether you call to Allah Ta'ala or you call to Rahman, is the same Allah. It won't make a difference. And to whomsoever, with whichever name you call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala has all the asma'ul husna. You can call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by any of His name. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِدْ بِهَا. And don't raise your voices so much in your salat. In other words, your recitation shouldn't be in a way resembling shouting. And you don't have to now say it very silently. وَابْتَغِ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. And choose the middle path between the two. The next surah is Suratul Kahf. Suratul Kahf is a Makki surah. Because the incident of the people of the cave have been mentioned here, that's why the surah is called Suratul Kahf. Makki surah, and the circumstances of the revelation of the surah, the ulama explain in Makkatul Mukarramah, when the mushrikeen saw the rising influence of the Muslims and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also, then they decided to verify from the Jews who used to be staying in Medina at that time, and they actually sent a delegation to meet with them and ask them, that tell us now, how do we verify whether this person who is claiming to be a Nabi is a Nabi or not. The Jews told them, okay, that if he is now, and they knew the last Nabi is still to come, that if he can inform you of three incidents and three things, then know that he is now a true Nabi. One of them is that ask him about the ruh. Mention of it was made in the previous para, and then ask them about the people of the cave. That incident is mentioned here, and also ask them about the incident of Dhulqarnain. Dhulqarnain, the incident comes in the 16th para in the surah, which will come inshallah tomorrow. So then, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this delegation came, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these questions were put forward. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, I'll inform you. But at that point, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgot to say insha'Allah, and wahi was stopped for the next 15 days. Why? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say insha'Allah, and then the emphatic and clear command is mentioned later on in the surah, where Allah ta'ala says that don't say that you will be doing anything till you don't say insha'Allah also. Always say insha'Allah for anything of the to be done or which you wish to do in the future. The incident of the people of the cave is mentioned here. Insha'Allah we will do it tomorrow.
الرحمن الرحيم عن معاوية رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج على حلقة من أصحابه فقال ما أجلسكم قالوا جلسنا نذكر الله ونحمده على ما هدانا للإسلام ومن به علينا قال الله ما أجلسكم إلا ذلك قالوا الله ما أجلسنا إلا ذلك قال أما إني لم أستحلفكم تهمة لكم ولكن أتاني جبريل فأخبرني أن الله تعالى يباهي بكم الملائكة. حضرت اقدس صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ایک مرتبہ صحابہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ کی ایک جماعت کے پاس تشریف لے گئے اور دریافت فرمایا کہ کس بات نے تم لوگوں کو یہاں بتایا ہے. عرض کیا کہ اللہ جل جلالہ کا ذکر کر رہے ہیں اور اس بات پر اس کے حمد و ثنا کر رہے ہیں کہ اس نے ہم لوگوں کو اسلام کی دولت سے نوازا. یہ اللہ کا بڑا ہی احسان ہے ہم پر. حضور اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کیا خدا کی قسم صرف اسی وجہ سے بیٹھے ہو؟ صحابہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ نے عرض کیا خدا کی قسم صرف اسی وجہ سے بیٹھے ہے. حضور اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ کسی بدگمانی کی وجہ سے میں نے تم لوگوں کو قسم نہیں دی, بلکہ جبریل علیہ السلام میرے پاس ابھی آئے تھے اور یہ خبر سنا گئے کہ اللہ تعالی تم لوگوں کی وجہ سے ملائکہ پر فخر فرما رہے ہیں. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once found a gathering in the masjid engaged in the dhikr of Allah ta'ala. He inquired as to what they were doing. They replied, we have sat here to remember Allah and to praise Him for guiding us to Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the sahaba radiallahu anhu to take an oath that this was the only purpose for them sitting there. After taking an oath, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have not asked you to take an oath due to my suspicion of lies, but rather because Jibreel alayhi salam has informed me that Allah ta'ala was boasting about you to the angels.